Okay, Rabbi Yisai. Today's daf is daf Lamed Vav. We're holding the top line on the Yomid, Nistak and Nikev. Nikev, of course, means that the Esrig had a Nekev, a hole. Now, back in our Mishnah, on Lamed Dalid Omid Beis, the Mishnah told us that when it comes to Nikev, it really depends. If you look at 6-7 lines before the end of the Mishnah on Lamed Dalid Omid Beis, the Mishnah says if it was Nikev, B'chosr Koshu, Apostle, and Rashi said that Nikev and Chosr Koshu go together as one expression. If it was Nekev, and there was something missing, then it's possible. The same Mishnah said 2 lines later, the Nikev V'loik Chosr Koshu, if there's a hole but nothing's missing, then it's kosher. So we're going to focus now, says Rashi, on the second part of the Mishnah, where it says that if there's a Nekev and no Chisara, nothing missing, says the Mishnah that it's kosher. However, it's not that simple. Says the Gemara, Lamed Vav Amid Aleph, top line, Toni Ula Bar Chinina, Nikev Nekev Mefulosh Pimashahu. That we said in the Mishnah that if there's a Nekev and nothing is missing, it's kosher, that's Davka if it was a small Nekev. What do I mean a small Nekev? It wasn't a Nekev Mefulosh. Nekev Mefulosh is like a Mavi Mefulosh, which means that it goes from one end to the other. You take a pin, put it through the Esrig, and it goes from one side to the other side, and the point of the needle, of the pin, comes out on the other side. That's a full Nekev Mefulosh going through and through. Says the Braisa, says Reb Ula Bar Chinna, that Nikev Nekev Mefulosh B'mashu, even if it's the smallest little hole made by a pin, by a needle, nevertheless, it's possible. Why is it possible? Our Mishnah said that if there's a Nekev and nothing is missing, it's kosher. That's what Ula Bar Chinna is adding with this Braisa, that if it's Mefulosh from one end to the other end, it's possible. On the other hand, B'she'ena Mefulosh, if there happens to be a hole, which is not Mefulosh, it doesn't go through and through, but it's a big hole. Shir is B'ke'isser. What means ki'isser? Isser is, of course, the size of a particular madbeya, of a coin. We don't know exactly what the size was. Presumably something like a nickel or a dime, something like that. If it has that type of hole, even though nothing's missing, Rashi is bothered by, how can you have such a big hole and nothing is missing? So Rashi says that, for instance, tochav bo yoseid ova, a person put in a large spade, and he gave a clap into the esrig, and he removed that yoseid, that spade, and it left a nice, large, gaping hole. But nothing was missing. Says Reb Ula Bar Chinna, in those cases, even though there's nothing missing, if it was a Nekev Mefulosh from one end to the other, Himashu, it's possible. If it's Einu Mefulosh, if it's a large hole, B'ke'isser, even though nothing is missing, possible. So therefore, bottom line is, here are 3 rules, or 3 criteria that you have to meet to make sure that the Esrig is kosher. Number 1, if it has a Nekev, that nothing should be missing. Number 2, even if nothing is missing, make sure that the Nekev doesn't go through and through. And number 3, even if it doesn't go through and through, and even though nothing's missing, make sure that it's a small hole, not the size of a kisser. Nushtikl, boy rav, nol to be Esrig simoni treifa mahu. What happens if an Esrig got simoni treifa? Now, what is exactly simoni treifa? So back in Masechta Schulin, as you'll recall, we learned that behemoths have 18 different simoni treifa that identify that this animal is not kosher, even though it's a kosher animal. However, the animal has certain major problems, and as a result, the animal is treif and you can't eat it. So therefore, the Gemara wants to know, by Esrig, do you have the same type of concept? What's the Shaila that Rav is asking? Is he asking about Niklaf, in Niklaf, not Niklaf we had back in the Mishnah? That means that it's missing its outer shell, its outer skin. Well, that's in fact the same halacha legabi a behema, which is a treifa. We're back in Masechtas Chulin, we called it a gluda. Gluda is the same as niklaf, it means that it's missing its skin or its shell, its peel. Thank you. It's peel. David points out it should be its peel. Thank you. That's a much more, as Shelley said yesterday, that's much more of an appealing term. In Nistak, if you're talking about that it's split, Tanina. Now, where do we have split? Back in Masechta Schulin, we have that the Gargeris. Gargeris means that you have the Kona and the Veshit. Kona is the windpipe. Veshit is the food pipe. When it comes to the windpipe, the psul tarfus is not that there's a hole in it, but there's got to be a split. And the split has to be from one end to the other. Because Rashi says if there's just a little bit left on the top and a little bit left on the bottom, that windpipe can heal and can get cured. It can be remedied. However, if it's totally split from one end to the other, that's it. You cannot heal this windpipe nor this animal. That if that's the case, if that's Rabbi Shaila Ulta Tanina, we had in our Mishnah Niklaf, we had a Mishnah Nistak. In Nikev, if we're talking about a hole, again Rashi gives an example, Nikev Krum Shon Moyach, if the animal had a hole in the membrane that is around its head, around its skull, what's the din? Then it becomes a treifa. That halacham Nikev we had in our Mishnah as well, in Nikev Tanina. So what the Gemara is saying is, in theory, Rav Shaila is a great Shaila. To Simon and Treifa apply to an Esrig. So three that we can easily identify as being Treifas, those three are listed in our Mishnah. That a Niklaf, Nistak, and Ikev all make the Behema Treifa and make the Esrig Treifa. The Esrig is possible. So what was Rav Shaila? Says Marki Kami Boy like Kiriula. Kiriula Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Reya Shinishpacha Kikitaim Ksheira. The Amar Rabbu the Kaima Simpoina. Halloi Kaima Simpoina is Treifa. Talk about a Reya, of course, those are the lungs of an animal. The lungs of an animal, what happens if all of the inside tissue of that Reya unfortunately have dissolved? It's dissolved to the point where this Reya, you can go, if you picked it up and you shook it, it's full of liquid in it. That's nishpacha, means that it pours out. Kikitoin. Kikitoin is like a pitcher. So just like a pitcher of water is full of water, this reya, unfortunately, is full of liquid in it, meaning that all of the inside tissue of the reya has dissolved, dissipated, and it's now fluid. What's halacha says Rabbi Yochanan? It's still kosher. V'yamarava v'udekaima simpoina. That's dafka if the bronchial tubes from which a person, or lahavdil, an animal, breathe, those bronchial tubes have to be intact. Because if those bronchial tubes are damaged, or they've also dissolved, treifa, then this animal is treif. Okay. So, hokamai, what's the status over here? Now, what is our case over here? So, says Rashi, what happens if you have your esrig? And the inside of the esrig, where the fruit part of the esrig, so to speak, has also dissolved. However, it's kaima simpoina. What are the simpoina of an esrig? Says Rashi, the chadre hazera shehagarinen besocha. Inside an esrig, after sukkis is over, what you can do is you can cut the esrig down the middle and see what's going on inside. It is somewhat similar to that of a lemon, and that is that part of it will be, of course, the part that you can theoretically squeeze to get out the esrig juice. And in the very core of the esrig, you'll find the chadri zera. That's where you have the seeds, the esrig seeds, just like you have seeds in a lemon. And depending on the oranges, some oranges have seeds, some are seedless. But those chadri hazera are intact, like the simpoinois, but the rest of the esrig inside is all dissolved. What would you say over here? The gabi, the reya, the kaima simpoina. Rava said that's kosher. But what's the case by the esrig? Is it kosher? Til mahasam hudalei sholet ba'avira hadebari. After all, the reya is enclosed inside the body of the animal. You don't have winds and drafts going by every single day, and so therefore this animal is less susceptible to potential germs and infections, and therefore there's a good likelihood that as long as you have the bronchial tubes intact, that over time maybe this rea will rejuvenate and be resuscitated. Aval hacha, in the case of the esrig, the shalit bavira, it's out here in the open, there's nothing protecting it from germs and infections and all that, then it could be Sirucha Misrachas. Then the inside of that esrig is going to just rot and rot and rot until it's gunish mit gunish. And therefore, maybe it should be parcel. Or maybe, just like by Hilchos Tarfis, by an animal, as long as Kaimis and Poina, it's kosher. Here, as long as it's Kaima, those Chadri Hazera, those parts of the core of the esrig which enclose the seeds, maybe it's kosher. Don't think more shy. Istoshima. Let's try to be pushed from the following brisa. And this brisa goes on for several lines and lists a whole bunch of psulim by an esrig, and then we're going to come back and see what's the raya from this brisa. Istoshima. Esrig which is tapuach or seruach or kavush, or shaluk, kushi, lovan, or menumar is possible. Now what are all these things? So literally the word tapuach, the way it's translated by the art scroll, is it's decaying or decayed. Seruach means it's rotten. Kovish means it was pickled. Pickled means that, for instance, you put it, said Rashi, either in chometz, in vinegar, or in chardol, or in mustard. Sholot means it was very well cooked. You took the esrig and you cooked it for a while. Kushi, if the esrig is a black esrig. Lovin, if it's a white esrig. Menumer, if it is a speckled esrig. In all those cases, it's possible. I think Mar is going to go through each case shortly, Rabbi Isai. We'll see more about it. Esrig kikadur, instead of having the esrig being in somewhat of an oval shape, as we are accustomed to, what happens if it was just like a ball? Then it's possible. The Yesh Oimim, I'm sorry? The Yesh Oimim,
how are you?
Somebody please put yourself on mute. The Yesh Oimim Af HaTiyum. The word Tiyum is similar to what we have by the lulav, the Tiyoimis, and it's similar to the Hebrew word Tiomim. Tiomim, as you know, means twins. And the reason why by a lulav, please put yourselves on mute. Somebody, we hear the background noise. The reason why by lulav we call it a tioimis is because the two upper leaves merge together. Let's see, I think it's Phil. Phil, you'll be so kind, Phil. We're hearing your background conversation. Phil.
You can't mute from here?
Can I mute it from here? That's a good question. Can I mute everybody? The moment it's quiet.
New participants.
And push participants. I can see all the names here.
That's quiet.
Okay, we'll see. Oh, everybody is good. We'll see what happens. Okay, everybody say returning. So Afa Tioim. Tioim means here that you have a double esrig, like a Siamese twin. Nowadays is cherry season. Very often you buy cherries, you find that the two cherries, you have two merged together as one. So here too you have two esroigim merged together as one. What's the halach about that? Shtei tuvaita, afatim is also a posle esrig. Esrig haboiser. What is esrig haboiser? Rashi says esrig haboiser means that it's very, very small. The term boiser is usually not used in connection with esroigim, it's usually used in connection with grapes. And Rashi says that boiser is katan kipul halovin. It's so small, like a bean, like a white bean. That's how Rashi learns boiser. Right here in the middle of the Amud, you see a line or two below where we are in the Gemara, haboiser katan kipul halovin. Bottom Toisis is very upset about that. All the way in the bottom of the last line, Esrik HaBoyser, Pirish Bekudris, Cotton Kippul Eleven, Velo Yitachin, it's impossible. Get a Parish Bereish Birkin, Ahi the Shir Esrik, the Mycene and Hossam. Back in Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, you have a lengthier choices in this one liner, And Tosis says that it's not mistaver like Rashi is saying, because back in our Mishnah we already had a machloikis, what's the minimum size of an esrik. Reb Meir said the minimum size is egos, like a nut. Reb Yehuda says kebeya, like an egg. Why didn't we mention the shear of kiboiser kechut kepul alaba? And therefore, Tosis back on Lamed Aleph on Midbeis learns that the pshat in the Gemara means that just like boiser means an unripened grape, and how large is an unripened grape? It's much smaller than a grape, so it's just like a bean, like you'd use in your chulit. However, when you're talking about an unripened esrik, says Tosis, it's not kepul alaba, it's like an unripened esrik. Since an esrig, normally we know what the size of an esrig is, it usually fits in the palm of a hand. So a boiser means it's unripened. So it's a quarter of that size, but it's certainly not the size of kapula lovan. And therefore, Tosis argues with Rashi. Anyway, regardless, getting back to our Gemara, so what happens if you have an esrig, a boiser, a bekiva, boiser, a chacham, a machshir? It's a machlokes. Gidloy bitfus. Bitfus means a form, a mold. You saw esrogim on your esrig tree. You want them all to come out nicely, so you go and have them grow into a mold, into a tfus, into a form. So now it depends. Masoikim in very acheres. What happens if you put it into a mold and it comes out looking like ichweis, an elephant mold? Looks like a baby elephant. It's very pretty. It's possible. Why? Because it doesn't look like an esri. However, as Igmar is going to say in the Amud Beis, if you put it into a mold of an esrig, then it would be kosher. That we'll see on the Amud Beis. Anyway, this is the lengthy brisa that we went through, and we almost forgot what was the Gemara Shaila. Gemara Shaila was, what happens if you have an esrig, which is nishpacha kikitoin, just like the reya, shnishpacha kikitoin, is it kosher or not kosher? In this brisa, the word nishpacha kikitoin doesn't appear. So ketani mias, let's look at the very two first cases of the brisa. Esrik tapuach and seruach. Tapuach is decayed, seruach is rotten. My love, what's the difference between the two? Aren't those synonymous terms? A decaying esrik and a rotten esrik? Says the Gemara, my love, tapuach mibachutz. Probably we're talking about that somehow it's decaying from the outside. The seruach means mibifnim. And mibifnim, that means that it's just like the case of the reya shenishbacha kikitoin. And therefore I can bring a raya that it's also, both the term tapuach and seruach are referring to the outside. So why do I have two separate synonymous terms? Flekash, hoda tofach afagavdli sorach, hoda sorach afagavdli tofach. Then it's tofach, meaning that it decayed even though it is not rotting. Now what exactly does that mean? And hoda sorach, that it's rotting even though glei tofach, that it's not decayed. So we have a Rashi over here. Rashi is five lines before the wide lines. It says Rashi, Loi tofach afagav loi sorach. Sorach afagav loi tofach. Tofach is inflabalaz, which is similar to the English word inflate, that the esrig has become inflated, it's become swelled. Kigoin shenoflu gishomim bitolush bitofach. He left the esrig outside when it was raining, and as a result of the rain, it swelled. It got inflated. Lashon infla. That's the tofach. Then it's treif. It's a non-kosher esrig. Sorach means nirkav. That means that it got rotted in some other way, shape, or form, but not related to our case of the reya shenishbacha kikitoin. Or lishna achrina, another pshat, tofach is nirkav. Taka, the tofach, the tapuach, means the tefuach of the braisa means that it's nirkav. Nirkav means it's rotting. Sorach means rechei ra machmas teiloim she'ochlu, that it has a bad odor to it, because unfortunately some esrig worms have gotten into this esrig and are causing trouble. If they really ochlu, that they ate a portion away, then l'chayr it would be possible anyway, because it's choser. So apparently it's a situation where it wasn't the choser. Or maybe this is just another way of referring to a chaser. But bottom line is, it's not talking about our case of the reish and ishbacha kikitoin, so we cannot be poished our shayt.
Question.
Yes, ma'am.
Tangent. Reish and ishbacha kikitoin is an inside mud. From outside, it's a regular esrog. How can you tell inside is decaying?
You'd be able to tell just like by the reish. ray, you pick it up and you hear it sloshing back and forth. You pick up the esrog and you hear it sloshing back and forth. Normally, if you listen to your esrog, you don't hear anything. But if you go and shake it and you hear, sounds some liquid going back and forth, then you know. Of course, it's a very rare type of thing. Omamat, we go back to the other cases in the braisa. Esrog kushi is possible. Vatania, but there's a braisa that says that kushi is kosher. In other words, there seems to be a stira. One said that our Mishnah said that kushi is possible. Here in this braisa we had kushi is possible. Yet there's another braisa that is that it's kosher. So make up your mind. Esrog kushi is possible. Vatania, kushi kosher. Now the braisa continues on. Dome le kushi is possible. If it's similar to a kushi. Now what means that it's similar to kushi? So Rashi says, Shegodl kan barihu shochar. In other words, from Rashi it sounds like that kushi means that it was produced or that it grew in the country of Kush. We know about Kush, of course, from the Megillah. And mehoidu v'yad Kush. Many think that Kush is Ethiopia. And if that's the case, it's an Ethiopian esrog, and just like the complexion of the people in Ethiopia is black, so too is the complexion of this esrog is black. That's a real kushi. Domala kushi, says Rashi Shagodl Khan. It grew here in Bavel or New York or somewhere else. Varu Yushaka, but it's still black. So it's not an Ethiopian black esrog. It's an American black esrog or a Babylonian black esrog. Oh, Tayyim Lakushi is possible. Interesting. If it comes from Ethiopia, that's Ethiopian esrog, you would expect it to be black. It grows in Ethiopia. But you don't expect to go and grow black esrogim here in New York. Therefore, Tayyim Lakushi is possible. In our mission in the Braisa, we said esrog kushi is possible, and here in this Braisa it says kushi is kosher. When it says in our Mishnah kushi, and the Braisa that we just brought at the top that kushi is possible, it's talking about not a real kushi. Real kushi is kosher. Adoyim al kushi is possible. We're on Lamed Vav Omer Aleph, otherwise known as 36A. And it's probably 36A number 2. Or number 3. Rav Omar Loikasha Halon Bahalahu. So Rav gives a somewhat similar teretz, and Rav says it really depends where you're talking about. So first of all, we had already one English word used by Rashi, that's the inflate word, the tofach infla. We have another English word used by Rashi as French. You'll notice the first wide line, Rashi says posel, shenidmahu. Counterfeit balaz. When you have a black esrog growing in a country which is dominated by white skinned people, then this is not a real bona fide Kushian Ethiopian esrog, it's a counterfeit. Avakushiatsmoi, but if you find a black esrog in Kush, no, Ainatam the Kosha, the Orchio, that's normal. In fact, if you had a white esrog, it would probably be considered to be possible, which we had anyway in the Braisa that a white esrog is possible. It's somewhat similar to the bracha that it says in Shulchan Aruch, whenever you see a black person, you're supposed to make a bracha Mishana Habriyos. Of course, here in New York, you'd be saying the bracha all day. In fact, maybe in certain places in Harlem, if you see a white person, you have to say Mishana Habriyos. So it depends on what you're used to. So when you're in Kush, you're used to a black esrog, and that's kosher. If you have a black esrog going and growing in the Chvais in Florida, in Arizona, or wherever esrogim grow, that would be a counterfeit esrog, and that would be possible. But now we have the teretz of Rav Lekash Halon Valahu. Next Rashi, Halon Valahu, says Rashi, second wide line. La'oilam asisin kushi nami possible. Our mission is not talking about doimela kushi, we're talking about a real kushi. Vloikash, masnisin, lebnei eretz Yisrael, shirachokin mi eretz kush, veinu rebegilim behem. So what Rav is telling us is it really depends on what you are used to. Both the Mishnah and the Braisa are talking about Ethiopian Esrogim. I say Ethiopia, just that's the way people usually refer to Kush. From this Rashi, it's not Mashma that Kush is Ethiopia, because Rashi says Bnei Eretz Yisrael are rochoik me'eretz Kush, they are far away. Israel is far away from Ethiopia. But then he says in the Braisa, Bnei Bavel, they're closer to Ethiopia. To my knowledge, Bavel is north of Eretz Yisrael, Kush, Ethiopia is southwest. If anything, Eretz Yisrael is closer. So therefore, Kush probably has a different definition. There are probably some people that say it's India. So what is Hoidu? Anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is, since the place which is close to Eretz Yisrael, people are used to seeing such Esraim. So since once they're Rogil Behem, so then it's not considered to be possible. For them, black is beautiful. They're used to seeing black Esraim. When you go to Eretz Yisrael, people don't see black Esraim. They get an Esraim from Kush. They say, I never saw something like that. It looks so strange. It looks so extraordinary. Therefore, it's considered to be possible. So everything is kind of relative. Remember, the whole Inyan of Priyat Sodor, that it's Hodor, that it's beautiful, that it's pretty. So in those places where they're used to seeing pretty black Esraim, okay, I'm used to this. This is a pretty Esraim. And Eretz Yisrael, well, they're not used to it when they see a black Esraim. They say, really? I never saw an Esraim like that. Okay.
Beauty is in the eyes of the beholder.
Oh, so Rabbi says from London, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, so everything is used. It's what you're used to. Exactly.
This is interesting because normally by Aloha we have an absolute way to define what is considered Hodor.
Right.
Here, we leave it to the individual to decide what. Like, it's a big
chiddush. What Rabbi is telling us is that usually when we talk about halacha, it's based on an objective standard, and here it's based on a subjective standard. That, as right. You said, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, so for some, a black esrog is a beautiful esrog, and in some medinas where they're not used to it, they say, wow, it's black? Oh, must have gone through the furnace or something. How did it turn black? So not used to it, and therefore it's possible. Shekoyach for your observation. Anyway, so getting back to Gemara, so we had two terutzim to fem for the stira, either that one place is talking about doima lekushi and the other one is talking about kushi, or it depends on which medina you live in. Is it a place where you frequently have black esrogim or not? So let's go on to the next case, which is esrog haboiser. That is the esrog that didn't have a chance to mature. It's still in the boiser stage, very, very unripe and very immature esrog. Rabbi Kiva poiselchom machshir mezumachlokes. Is Omer Rab, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shimon, Omer Dover Echad. Says Rabbi makes the following observation. Rabbi Kiva that says it's possible over here by the Esrik, he seems to be saying the same thing as Rabbi Shimon says, Legabi, another halacha involving Hilchois Maisrois. Zokti Mar, Rabbi Kiva Odi Amar, Rabbi Kiva that we just said now, that if you have this puny, immature Esrik, it's possible. Zokti Mar, what is Reb Shimon? Reb Shimon Maihi. That now we learned in the Mishnah, Reb Shimon Poiter Esu Esroigim Bekoitnan. And this is talking about giving Meiser. So he's a Krashi Minha Meisris. If you have an Esrig that was cut when it was still in a very puny stage, like the stage of Boiser, very, very, very small, unripened, immature, what's Halacha? You do not have to give Meiser because it's not considered to be a real bona fide pre. It's a premature pre, and therefore it's pot. Omli Abai. So now Lechoira, both are saying the same thing. Both Rabbi Kiva that says over here that it's apostle esrig, basenishkan esrig, it's premature, it's gunish. That's the same as Rabbi Shimon that says you don't have to give meiser, it's gunish. It's Omli Abai, Dilmalohi, maybe there's no raya. Ad kan come Rabbi Kiva, hocha, debinin hadar veleka. If you see this puny little esrig that's the size of ichweis, a nickel or something like that, Boiser, Rashi says, Kipula Lovan, maybe slightly bigger. Come on, that's not Hodor. People will laugh at you. You bring such an Esrig into Shul, people say, that's a size of an Esrig. Has no beauty to whatever. Abul Hasim Kirabonan Svirle. There has nothing to do with beauty. There has to do with the size that it grew, as well as according to the Rabbanan say, as long as it is edible, that is already sufficient to Machayev Meiser. And the Rabbanan hold that even an immature esrog is edible, and therefore mechuyev ma'isrus. Inami ad kam kam Reb Shimon hasam. When Reb Shimon say over there that what that it's part of a ma'isr elu dechsif. We learned this last week's sedra. We learned it frequently on Yom Tov shecholiyos b'Shabbos. Aser to aser eis kol tvas tzarecha hayoyzi asod eshana shana. Now aser to aser means you have to give ma'isr. What means tvuas zarecha? Darshan de Gemara, Kederach Shemenei Odom Moitzian Lizriya. What does that mean? So Rashi explained that if you want to go and plant new trees, based on the seeds of a fruit, the seeds will only germinate a brand new tree if they are from a mature fruit. So if you have a fully grown apple, orange, whatever type of fruit, and it has in it seeds, and you take that seed and you go and plant it, new trees and new fruit will grow out. However, if you only have an immature, unripened fruit, even though it has seeds in it, if you put the seeds in the ground, no tree will grow because it was an immature fruit. So the seeds are also immature. They don't have enough koyach, nourishment, whatever, to be able to make into a tree. If you don't believe it, Rabbi Yisai, try it out. Go into your back, to your gardens, take some immature fruit, take out the seeds, plant them, see if it works. Anyway, the point is...
I did that, Rabbi.
And what happened?
When I moved from 5 years old from the East Bronx to the West Bronx...
Yes.
I took a little apple, and I got the seeds out, and I planted it in a little plot in front of it, a lot.
And?
Thinking I could come back and see it.
And?
It never grew.
It never grew.
Nothing
so,
ever.
You see, that's... You have Shelley, who's saying definitively and authoritatively that he took baby apples. Baby apples means immature apples. He took the seeds out of the apples, planted them, hoping to have beautiful apple trees, but they did not grow because immature seeds from immature fruits cannot germinate brand new trees. I see Shlomo has a comment.
Well, because the tree grows in Brooklyn.
Ah.
Very good.
Okay, very good. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, so says Reb Shimon, that's the reason why you don't have to give Maisris, because it's you only give Maisris when Tvua, which has Zaracha, Zera that could produce, that are seeds that can produce new offspring, new fruits, new vegetables, new grain, whatever, in the future. So if you have, it has to be Kedosh B'nei Adam, we'd see in Israel. When you talk about Esrogim, Kirbanan Svirle, maybe he holds that, you know, a fruit is a fruit is a fruit, even though it's a small asterisk, but it's still an asterisk, and therefore it's kosher. So Gemara Vesuloi Midi, and therefore, although Abaye tried to say, was it Abaye? Even though Rabba tried to say that Reb Shimon and Reb Akiva, Omer Dover Echad, says Gemara, the answer that Abaye just gave now, that the two may be unrelated, there is no way to refute that, and therefore you have no right that Reb Shimon holds like Reb Akiva, or that Reb Akiva holds like Reb Shimon. And we continue on back to the Brisa. It said, Gidloi Bitfus. You took a mold and you attached it to a growing fruit, hoping that the fruit would fill up that form or that mold. Vasoi Kimin Beria Acheris. If as a result the form was, for instance, the form of Achweis, a baby elephant, or a doll, or whatever the form or the mold was shaped into. And that's what the esrig grew into. And it's a fascinating esrig. The esrig looks like a baby elephant, or like a doll. It's possible. If the reason why you put that form or mold around it, because you wanted to have a beautiful looking esrig, after all, I don't have to tell you, you go to the esrig market, you have some esrogim which are gorgeous, and they command a very nice price, and then you have some esrogim which are not so gorgeous. And so therefore, he put on this nice mold that it's going to have beautiful bumps, and it's going to be nice oval-shaped, and a beautiful metapictum, and it'll really be a $500 esrog. So that's kosher. The Vreitimor Pshita, after all, Kaminyan Beriacheres Tanya. In the Bryce it says that if you put on a mold that's going to cause it to have a different form, then that's possible. Is a mashma that if you put on a form so that it should have the form of an esrog is kosher. So what is Rava adding? The Gemara leitzricha davida dafi that he put on top of it a fold, such a mold or a form that it looks like dafi like. Rashi says kimin krushim. See the second Rashi from the top of the Yomid, second line. Davida dafi kimin krushim. Like beams, ken galgal shel rechayim shel mayim. If you have a water mill, where the water mill has in it these slats one after the other, which turn like in a windmill. So if you have the type of esrog which looks like it's one slat after the other after the other, in other words, that has grooves. The art scroll, I think, has a picture. It shows that has like nice grooves going down parallel one to the other, similar to such planks or such pieces of the windmill, of the watermill. So if it has such nice grooves one after the other, looking like a crush him, even though it may not look like your standard esrig, but it looks like an esrig, so it says Rava, that's also kosher, no problem. Itmar, esrig shenikvu akbarim. If you have an esrig with the akbarim, mice made holes in the esrig. Omarab ein zehada, that is not a nice esrig, possible. Freitimar eni, for Rav Chanina matbulba, the nofig ba. Rav Chanina used to be matbulba v'nofig. What does it mean, matbulba v'nofig ba? Says Rashi, Rav Chanina used to go and take a bite out of the esrig. I don't know if he took a bite. Maybe he just cut a piece of the esrig. The word matbul, says Rashi, lav dafka, that he used it for toivling, for immersing it in some side of, in some sort of, what do they have nowadays? Tchina, mit hummus, mit baba ganoush, and all these 50 different types of things that you can buy in the market. So Rashi says lav dafka. He says that when you're talking about bayom mehem, that people were eating, since kol macholim al yedei tibul haya, that was the standard way that people used to eat. Presumably they cut a piece of bread, washed, ate a piece of bread, went and put it and dipped it into the different relishes, the different dips, and that's how they ate. So therefore the word matbil really means that he ate. So it's just a borrowed term, lav dafka, that he immersed in anything. So Rav Chanina used to go and take a bite out of the esrig, the nofik ba, and then the next day he would use it in shul again for the bracha, for the arba minim. Nothing but not, of course, on that piece that he ate, but Rashi says in the noiser, whatever was remaining. So he ate 5 or 10%. I'm sorry? You're asking an excellent question. So that's what the Gemara is going to get into right now. So we said initially that Akbu Nira, Esrik Shnegvu Akbarim, Rav says, Ein Zehadar, it's treif. No good. The Esrik is no good. Rav Chanina used to go and take a bite out of the Esrik, but nothing more. And he used it, it was good. Well, is the Chastira? How could Rav Chanina go and cut and bite into the Esrik and take a piece away? You just said that the Esrik, the Akbarim, if they took a bite, it's possible. Ein Zehadar. Freit Imara. Okay, it's not only kasha on Rav, Rav Chanina kasha masisin. Our Mishnah said that if you have an esrig which is chaser, nikev v'chaser, chaser kosher, shet in the Mishnah, it's possible. Which of course is the question that Rabbi is asking. Our Mishnah said, nikev v'chaser kosher is treif, it's possible. And here we have a case where Rav Chanina was biting into it, it's chaser, it should be possible. So the Mishnah must eat Rav Chanina loy kasha, come beyond the Rishon, come beyond the Shani. We could say that our Mishnah is only talking about Yontav Rishon, first day of Yontav, not the rest of Yontav. You're going to ask, what difference does it make between the first day of Yontav and the rest of Yontav? Because it says in the Pasuk, "Olakachtem lachem b'yom Rishon." How do I know that Chaser is possible? Because it says, "Olakachtem lekicha tama." It's got to be a full esrig, not an esrig which is missing. But that's b'yom Rishon. Olakachtem lachem b'yom Rishon. The rest of Yontav, which is Dirabbanan, so even a chaser would be kosher. Even a chaser would be kosher. That's why, if Chas V'Shalom, a person loses his pitum on the top of the esrig on day number one, possible, because it's a chaser. If he loses it later on during Yontav, if it's only al psul chaser, it's kosher. Some say, however, losing the pitum, it's not only a chaser, but also it's no longer hadar, because the hidur of the esrig is when it has its pitum. So therefore they'd say it's possibly entirely on top. Halokha l'maisa, speak to a competent Orthodox rabbi, or check it out in Shulchan Aruch. But we're just now talking about the Gemara. Shlomo, you have a question?
I have a question. I want to best step back a second. We were talking about the shape of the etrog a moment ago.
Yeah.
Have you heard anything about the genetic engineering? There's a lot going on with different fruits and produce to change to direct the shape.
To make it more pretty and presentable.
I mean, is that acceptable? Is that an issue with this?
What do they do in modern technology? What's your question, Shlomo? What do they do presently?
I mean, in terms of, you can engineer the shape of the etrog to be what you want it to be.
How can you engineer that?
From what I've read and heard, you can do that.
I think they alter the seeds.
They alter the seeds? Okay, you'd have to ask competent rabbis. Our Gemara is talking about only engineering the shape of the esrog by putting a mold, a form around it. What you do with the DNA of the seeds and stuff like that, you'd have to speak to competent Orthodox rabbis
Well, we also have other issues this year, like shemitah, and we also have a lot of produce that's grown in hydroponic. I don't know if antrogema was grown that way, but...
I couldn't help you on that either. I'm assuming that as long as an estuary that grew, it's fine, but I couldn't tell you.
It would have to be land-based, I assume.
Based.
Rabbi, in Japan I saw a watermelon, they grew in a box.
And grew in a box?
Yeah, and it comes out square.
Square.
Uh-huh. They sell it.
Okay. I don't know if you all heard that comment, but David Reese was just sharing with us that in China, was it?
In Japan.
In Japan, he saw a square watermelon. Because they grew it in boxes, they boxed it in, didn't allow it to become oval shaped, and you had a square watermelon. Beautiful. So next year,
with the girls of feet in shoes that deformed their feet years ago.
Uh huh. Okay, that's some feet. Okay, so let's go back. Okay. Anyway, look to more about it. So we're getting back to the case of the Esrei Shenegvu Achbar. Where, if there's a hole made by the mice, says Rab, Ein Zeh Hoda. We asked, Reb Chanina used to go and take a bite out of the esrog and use it the next day. Says, the next day he was able to use it. He wasn't able to use it on day one, because L'kach Tem L'kicha Tama. First day it would be a chosid, but the second day is no problem. You could take a bite out of it on day one, and use the esrog on day two. Okay, that's Reb Chanina. El Rav Kash, according to Rab, it's not just a chisorin in chosir, but it's a chisorin in hidur. So how could you go and take a bite out of the esrog and use it the following days? The problem is not, the hidur problem is not taking a bite. The bite, if it's nibbled at by mice, if you see an esrog and you see that there are little nibbled signs on the top or on the side, somebody says, hey, what's this all about? Well, how come this esrog has those marks in it? Oh, because my local mouse took a bite out of it. Yeah! I'm not going to want to take such an esrog. It'll be repulsive. That will not be hodor. It'll be mos, says Rav. However, if Reb Chanina took a bite out of it and said, hey, what is this bite all about? What is it? That's Reb Chanina. Reb Chanina? Ooh. It's Shirayim for Reb Chanina. Reb Chanina left over Shirayim in his esrog. I want to buy the top rice. That's a chosh of esrog. I'll tell everybody this is Reb Chanina's esrog. And he took a bite out. Ikriyami, there's another version of the story. Amar Rav Zeh Hodor. That even though the esrog was Nikvu Achborim, he still said that it's Hodor. Why did he say it's Hodor? The Reb Chanina Matbul Bavanofik Bo. You see, Reb Chanina took a bite and he used it, so even if the Achborim took a bite, you can still use it. But doesn't it say in our Mishnah that Choser is no good? Forgetting about Hodor is a problem of Choser. Again, the same terms, like Kasha can be Yontav Rishon, can be Yontav Sheni. Yontav Rishon al Kachtem Lochem, it's got to be a Lekicha Tama and not a Choser. But the second, third day, it's not a problem. No din of Choser the rest of Yontav. Esrig cotton, if you have a small little esrig, what's the shiur? Machlek is a mayor of Yehuda, according to mayor, ke egoiz, according to Yehuda, it's ke bayer. Zogting him omarov from bar papa, ke machlek is kan, ke machlek is be avona mikruzolis. Same machlek is that you have here in Mesechta Sukkah by the size of the esrig, same machlek is you have about the shaped stones for Shabbos. What are the shaped stones for Shabbos? The sign you learn the price. B'Shabbos Gimel Avonim Mikruzolis Mutal Hachlas Abeis HaKise. A person has to go into the bathroom on Shabbos. We're talking about it in a time where they did not sell toilet paper. And somebody, you needed to go and clean yourself. You couldn't leave the schmutz behind when a person has to go gidolim. So what's the din? Says our Gemara Beis HaBraisim Masech Shabbos. Even though normally stones are mukta on Shabbos, however, if they are shaped in such a way that you could use it as cleansing agents, if you will, for a person that had to go to the bathroom, then you're allowed to take up to three into the bathroom on Shabbos. Rashi points out, we're talking about a situation where there was no carrying issue. In other words, it wasn't Rishus Rab, Rishus Yochid. No problem. There was an Erev, it was within Betoch Dalet Amos. So we didn't have a problem. So don't get carried away with this halacha, Rabbi Yisai. We're not talking about carrying. We're only talking about strictly the din of Muktzah. Says Rashi, the din of Muktzah is Midrabanan. Umishim Kovet Habriyois Loi Gozer. Since we're talking about the Kovet Habriyois, the person has to go and clean himself. So they allowed this heter to go and take three such shaped stones on Shabbos and take them into Beis HaKisek. What's their shear? The mayor oimik egg is the size of a nut. The buta oimik bay the size of an egg. Says our Gemara Amiravram the same machleik as we have by an esrig, the same machleik as we have the gabi the case of vana mekruzavis. On the surface, there is absolutely no relationship between the two, other than that in both cases, the mayor says keegois. And Behuda says kibayim. So why does the Gemara insist on bringing that here? Rashi doesn't tell us. However, the same Gemara appears in Masechta Shabbos, as you would expect, because over there it's talking about the Avonim HaKuzalis. And there Rashi says that this is just as a mnemonic, if you will, a way for us to remember that don't get confused. Rameir is consistent in both cases. He says egois. In both cases, he says kibeya. And don't think that maybe there was a switch from the case of Esroigim, where here it's keegos and kibeya. And maybe when it comes to Mekuzolos, it's the other way around, that Rameir holds kibeya and Rebuda holds keegos. No, no, it's the same. But really, there's no shaychus one to the other. The Oruch Laner is not happy with that pshat. The Oruch Laner says, I think I can find a reason that both are the same. Why the Gemara brings it. Rashi note over here learns that when they were talking about the Esrig in our Mishnah, that the minimum size of an Esrig is Ke'egois or Kebeya. Obviously it's nicer and bigger when it's bigger, since it's the minimum. Rashi says, however, the Gabi Yavonim Kuzolis, that's the maximum. If you look at Rashi, Ke'egois, it's two lines after where the Mishnah starts. These are ideal for cleaning. Once it gets larger than that, it's no good. So therefore, that's the maximum size. So the two sugis are unrelated. Here we're talking about minimum size, and they're talking about maximum size. Says the Oruch Laner, Lulei Rashi, if it wasn't for Rashi, one perhaps could say that the same thing applies also to the Avonim HaKuzalis, that those are also talking about the minimum size. That if it's smaller than an egos or kibay, it's so small, it's not going to do a good job in cleaning oneself after the Beis HaKisei. So just like by Unz, the machloikis is the minimum size. Over there too, by the Avonim HaKuzalis, it's the minimum size for using, but larger than that would do even a better job, because presumably maybe you could reuse it on the other side, or whatever. I let you think about this on your own, figure out how you would use Avonim HaKuzalis. David is shaking with his head, he doesn't even want to think about it. But the point is that according to the Oruch Laner, there is now a common denominator of the two, that both in our Gemara and the Gemara of the Avonim Kruzalis, both of them are talking about the minimum. Rameir said the minimum shear of an egois, of an esrig, is an egois. The minimum shear of Avonim Kruzalis that you can be metaltal on Shabbos would be keegois. And the same thing, Rabbi Yehuda, kebeya here and kebeya there. Might ubi gadol kedei shi'oiches. It says in the Mishnah we had a machloikis, what's the maximum size? According to one man, the Yama, we said, you can hold two in one hand. And remember, the concern was that if he's holding two in one hand and they're both substantial esroigim, then as he is switching from the lulav to the other hand, maybe something is going to fall down, it's going to break. Anyway, that's according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi, I'm a fellow echad b'shtei yadavim. You're talking about a very large esrig that you can hold in shtei yadayim. It's also kosher. Zokti Martani, Omer Rabbi Yossi, Masim Rabbi Kiva Shabbat Lameisik Nes Vesroigoy Al Kseifai. He had such a long, big esrig, it didn't even fit in his hands. He carried it on his shoulder, like a watermelon. I don't know whether it was like a square watermelon, like David tells us in Japan, but it was a watermelon and he was carrying it, a huge esrig. So the Chayez Arai, to me, Rabbi Yossi, that you can even have an esrig that you have to carry in two hands is also kosher. on Rabbi Yehuda Mishom Raya. Afei Mamrulai Ein Zehad. They screamed at Rabbi Kiva. I don't know if they screamed at him, but they said, Rabbi Kiva, you're not Yotze the Mitzvah. This is not a beautiful Esrog. This is just so huge, so gigantic. Yeah, this is not Hadar. So what the Gemara is telling us in the Braisa is that the same Machlokes we have in the Mishnah is repeated in the Braisa in a real live story with Rabbi Kiva, where Rabbi Yosi is trying to bring a raya from Rabbi Kiva that it's kosher, and Rabbi Yehuda says, you have no raya. Just the opposite. All the rabbis said to Rabbi Kiva, you're not Yotze, it's not a kosher esrog.
But it is a Hadar. Does that mean esrog is not a Hadar, or does that mean it's not
an
esrog, it's
not
kosher?
When they said Ein Zehadar, it means it's not a kosher esrog. Dr. Mishnah, Ein Oydin is a little well b'minay. We all know the din of Agad, that you're supposed to go and put the kosher on it and the tabois, the rings, and you connect the three minim together. We had a machloikis, as you know, whether a lulav absolutely needs agad or not. But even those that hold that it does not need agad, l'chatchila, you're supposed to do it because of zeh kelim avei. So therefore, that's why it's become the standard custom in Gans Klal Yisrael. Everybody does agad around the lulav. Now the question is, how do you do the agad? Is ein oydin sa lulav ela b'minoy? You have to use the same min. And that's why those koshikluch that they use to put in the lulav adas menarobis are made from the lulav leaves. Divrei Yehuda. If you wanted to use, for instance, a rubber band, you would not be able to use it. Ein oydin sa lulav ela b'minoy divrei Yehuda. The mayor oymer afilu b'chut b'meshicha. The vos made chut b'meshicha. Rashi seems to be going to chut shel meshicha. So chut shel meshicha means that you're using some sort of string, some sort of cord to go and put around the lulav. According to our gear, so it sounds like these are two separate things. A chut or a meshicha, that is a string or a cord. But Rashi says chut shel meshicha, it sounds like it's one and the same. I remember when I was in Yerushalayim, the Yidden would go and put around their lulavim such beautiful bendelach made out of gold. Gold. Shh. So you see, obviously it doesn't have to be meminah. Amrulai. So they told the mayor, you didn't look at it carefully enough. They went and put the lulav frond down below, and they put the Gimoyne Shel Zov up above. So the real agad was through the minoy, the min of the lulav, to make it pretty and nice. They put around it all to the Gimoyne Shel Zov. Now there's a machlokes how you learn hoyulamata. You could learn hoyulamata that they were at two different levels. In other words, towards the bottom of the lulav where the hadas menorovis were binding them together was from the lulav leaves, and higher up they put up this nice Gimoni Shulzov to make it more pretty, like a noy sukkah, they had a noy lulav. Others say, no, what he really means to say is that there was a double layer, one on top of the other. In other words, first they put on the lulav leaf, to go and tie them all together, and on top of that, they put Gimoni Shulzov. It was a real cover-up. You didn't see the lulav frond or the lulav leaf down below, it was covered over by the Gimoni Shulzov. Bottom line, it comes out the same. What he means to say is that the real tying was done b'minay. So, Gemara, Omer Rabba, Afilu b'siva, Afilu b'ikra zikla. We had this Gemara already before. It doesn't have to be a lulav leaf. It just has to be minay. Minay means from a lulav tree. A lulav tree is a palm tree or date tree. The sieve that we're referring to is some sort of fiber that you have when you pull off the bark of the tree. It's like a fiber that goes around the wood. That's called sieve. And then you have ikra dikla, means from the trunk of the tree itself. You took a piece of wood. So you could take a piece of wood and make it soft, whatever, and you tie it around the lulav to hold together the three minim. That's also kosher. V'yomer Rav my time in Rabbi Yehuda. Where does Rabbi Yehuda come from? That he says has to be minoy. Kosova lulav tzorech agad. Like we've had before. V'imaisi minach rinna hava chamisha minim. If I'm going to go and bring in anything in addition to the four, I'm going to bring in, or in addition to the three, three minim that I am tying together, if I'm going to use something else, then I'm going to have an additional min, and that's going to puzzle it. And that's why Rav said that even siv and ikra d'dikla works, because that's from the same min. It doesn't look like a lulav, but it comes from the palm tree, so the same min. How do I know this? The ikra d'dikla mina the lulav, how do I know that it works? The sign we have a brice. Says Rameh, the sukkah can be constructed out of any material. with the exception, of course, that the schach has to be something which you can do in the karka, like we learned from Psoilis Goyin V'yakev, and not Mekabel Tumah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ein Tzukan Ha'Hagas Abdal Minim Bilvad, or Abdal Minim Shabalulav, meaning that the schach of the sukkah has to be made davka from the arba minim, which pashut means from the lulavim. And in fact, in Eretz Yisrael, a lot of the schach is made not from normal lulavim, but lulavim that remained on the tree for an extra year or two until all of the leaves started separating and they hardened and become almost like wood. And many people use that for their schach. Anyway, but says Rabbi Yehuda, all the schach has to be from the dal minim. And I'll bring a kal v'chaymer. It's an interesting kal v'chaymer. Umal lulav she'ein noig b'leilois ki b'yomim. Lulav, as we know, no din of taking lulav at night. U'lekach l'chem v'yoyim arishoy. You take it during the day. Ein noig el barbas minim. However, you can only use arba minim. You can't go and use apples or oranges. You have to use the four minim which are specified in the Torah. Sukkah she'neheges v'leilois ki b'yomim. Sukkah is basukah teishu shivas yomim. 24 hours a day, whenever you want to eat, sleep, you do that in the sukkah. Then you have to have the arba minim to go and construct your sukkah. Omr loy, so the Chacham said to Rabbi Yehuda, kol din she'at adon, t'chilos elahachmir, b'soif elahokol, ein adin. It sounds like Rabbi Yehuda is adding on a chumrah, not just any building material. It's got to be arba minim. It's a chumrah, but it's going to come out a tremendous kula. Why will it be a tremendous kula? Top of the yomid. Lo'imotz arbas minim. What happens if you don't have arba minim to use for constructing your sukkah? It's hard enough to go and get arba minim for arba minim. They're so expensive. You're going to have to go and buy another set or two or three or five or ten to go and use for your schach of your sukkah. What's going to happen is if lematzar bas mini a yoishuv a bottle, then you're not going to sit in the sukkah. Vatayra amr basukkah station is yamim. Therefore, sukkah shall call davar. Any material is good for the sukkah. And I'll bring you a raya from Ezra Nehemiah. Chaim beEzra Oymer says in the pasuk, Tzu hahar v'haviu ale zayis v'ale et shemen v'ale hodos v'ale tmarim v'ale et avoyis. We have your vasu. It's really lasois sukkois kakosif. Ah, so what do I see from this pasuk? I see from this pasuk that they constructed sukkois not only from the arba minim, but they used ali zayis and ali eit shemen, which means other types of wood. Is achshver and Rabbi Yehuda says you have to use arba minim. Rabbi Yehuda sabar hari litfanois. That's talking about the walls. The walls you can make, you construct it out of metal. You don't have to be dafka made out of eitz. Anything you want, you can use for the walls. What I'm talking about is at the end of that pasuk, the ali hadas, ali tamarim, ali eitz avos, those are all for the schach. Really, ali hadas and ali eitz avos are synonymous, because eitz avos and hadasim are the same. So the Gemara already asked that kasha back on daf yudalit, as you'll recall. And the Gemara said that the difference between that the difference between the hadas and the ali eitz avos is talking about that it was really mishulash from top to bottom, and he used that for the lulav, and the ali hodos is referring to that there were two and one, and he used that for the schach. That's what we call the adah, the hodos shoyte or the hodos soyte, as we had a couple of days in Gemara. Utanan. And it says, "Vayit in the Mishnah Masachim b'Nasarim that you can go and make schach out of Nasarim means out of board." Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So now, how can you use boards? Didn't Rabbi Yehuda say you have to use the arba minim? L'chol, you have to go and use lulavim. How can you make boards? Al masiv v'ikra d'dikla mina d'lulavahu. So you can make boards out of the palm trees. Shema mina. The same thing is that you can go and make the agad around the lulav. You can also use b'mina. You don't have to use dafka. The koshekloch that we buy that are made out of the lulav leaves, you can also use the sieve, the bark, or the trunk of the tree for making that agar around the lulav. So Rabbi Yisrael will stop with here by Shema Amina. We're going to continue Miyachim tomorrow at 8 o'clock in Miyach Hashem. Have a wonderful day. Zagi Bench. Any questions? Okay, hearing none in Miyachim tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock.